Welcome to the Feminine Podcast. This is the official podcast of Feminine, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and absolutely everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminine.
And I'm Dara Cass, the other editor-in-chief of Feminine. And today, again, we have a third introduction physician. Take it away, guest physician.
I'm Risa E. Lewis, a huge advocate, encouraging everybody to put their profile up on the Feminine Speakers Bureau. And I'm a Fix 18 Content Committee Chair.
Co-chair.
Yeah, although my co-chair, Dr. Esther Chu, said that she's gone by the wayside using the phrase co-chair, and she just said we're all chairs. So I'm a chair, and she's a chair.
It's like
editor-in-chief. It's just, you know, co-editor-in-chief. It's too many hyphens.
You're right, and we don't say co-editor-in-chief, so why should I make you guys say co-chairs? It reminds me of that Shirley Chisholm quote about if there's no seat at the table, bring your own folding chair. Like, I just feel like there are enough chairs to go around.
Yes.
Let's all bring our own chair.
I like it.
Okay. Well, Jenny, what podcast are we introducing today?
Okay. So today's podcast features Jamie Hope. Jamie is an attending at Beaumont Health Royal Oak, and she is an incredible public speaker. You guys are in for a treat. She is talking in her Fix 17 talk about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is the imposter syndrome, which I will admit to the world. I will put it out there. I am a sufferer of the imposter syndrome. Dara, did you know that even Meryl Streep has imposter syndrome?
I did, actually. I heard her speak about it once. Dr. Lewis, have you ever had imposter syndrome?
Of course. I remember I was in summer camp, and somehow I had convinced them that I was a leader and that I could take a sailboat out with a bunch of younger campers all on my own. The wind was very strong, and I thought, how did they get the feeling that I could somehow do this and charge this boat and be in charge of these little campers?
Wow.
And then you forgot it's because you told them.
You forgot it's because you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But exactly. Everyone survived.
Everyone
I think
survived.
That we
yeah. No dead campers in that story?
None.
Oh, God, no. I actually, the worst part is the imposter syndrome I feel all the time, actually, right now, as a mom, to be honest. I'm like, who gave me these kids? Like, how did this happen? We're laying in bed last night watching TV, like all my whole family of five. And I was looking around at the 10-year-old, the 8-year-old, the 5-year-old, and my husband. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm the adult in the room. Like, it's like, you know, the meme about like being an attending. It's like you stand up and you're like, who's the attending or attending?
Yeah,
right? Like the
one
that's bigger than you. I feel like the imposter syndrome actually kind of,
you're like, where's the parentier parent right now?
Exactly. So, and it's certainly not my husband. So ultimately, okay. Jamie really gave an incredible talk that talked a lot about the infrastructure of why we feel like we're imposters and how to do something about it. So without further ado, before we announce the Fix speakers for next year, over the next week, we give you Dr. Jamie Hope talking about imposter syndrome.
Well, no medical conference would be complete without talking about at least one type of disease. So I'm going to talk about this imposter syndrome because this disease is as insidious as it is destructive. And the population that this disease affects are the educated, affluent, and successful. And lest you think that this is a rare phenomenon, studies show that this disease affects 70% of the target population. And the way that it can manifest are things like these. There are still days when I wake up feeling like a fraud, not sure I should be where I am. Anybody recognize this person? Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook, former chief of staff for the government, with a personal net worth of over $1.5 billion. Or like this, you think, why would anybody want to see me again in a movie? And I don't know how to act anyways, so why am I doing this? Meryl Streep, the most nominated actor, not just actress, most nominated actor of all time. Or we downplay our attributes and achievements with self-deprecating statements like this. It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. Albert Einstein. Albert freaking Einstein. So if you have ever suffered from imposter syndrome, congratulations. You're in good company. And it means that you have arrived. So let's talk about the common signs and symptoms. Status comparicus. So you know, you have a couple cool things on your CV, you've done a few publications, a book chapter, you just got on this new committee and you're excited. and you come to a conference and you start talking to people and they're like, oh, I've done 15 publications, 3 book chapters, and I'm on 2 committees at work. And you're like, oh my gosh, that sounds way more impressive. And then you meet somebody who's like, I've done 157 randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials. I've written an entire textbook, and I am a direct descendant of Hippocrates. And you're just like, oh my God, everything everyone else is doing seems so much more important and impressive than me. And you're just shaking and kind of shrinking. And you guys all know what status can lead to. It leads to shoulding all over yourself. I should do more research. I should do more book chapters. I should be on more committees. I should be a descendant of Hippocrates. I should, until you are knee-deep in it. And let me assure you, it reeks. And the scent of all this should attracts these guys. Ants. Automatic negative thoughts. And you know that you do this. Somebody gives you a compliment here. That is a great dress. Ugh, oh no, I have no fashion sense. I usually look like I'm homeless. Automatic negative thought. I have personally said that, yes. Somebody tells you, wow, that was a really awesome, insightful comment that you made at the committee meeting the other day. Ugh, oh no, they just needed a woman on the committee. That's the only reason I'm even there. That is an ant. Yeah, I know, right? Automatic negative thought. And these pop into our head, and these little buggers start eating away at our self-confidence. And then this happens, this hyperverbal inner bully. It is running in your ears all the time like a podcast, reviewing all of your faults and flaws. Today we're going to talk about how Jamie has no original research on her CV. We'll review that time she slipped on the ice and made a huge idiot out of herself in front of everybody. Then we'll go over some personal failings like how she rarely remembers to water her plants and does not call her grandmother nearly often enough today at 5. So it's just running in your head all the time, and then this is what you're hearing, and the more you hear something, the more you start to believe it, right? Okay, the imposter syndrome also affects your vision. It creates a tunnel vision in your mind where this spotlight is only on your weaknesses. And it affects your peripheral vision, so you can't just step back and take a look at the big picture of all of the awesome things about you and the big picture of the whole world around you. So our confidence is low, so we start engaging in telepathic delusions. Right? It's because you know in your heart you really want to be the director of patient satisfaction at work, but you're not quite confident enough to tell anyone. So you just start thinking it really hard. Like, if I just like beam that thought out of my head, one day my boss is going to call me and be like, Jamie, we created this great position. You're the director of patient satisfaction. And like unicorns start like farting glitter out everywhere. Because that's how it works, right? We don't tell people what we want, and then we're upset when we get it. You know you do this in your personal life too, right? With your significant other, you don't know what I'm talking about. I see some heads nodding. We don't tell people what we want, but then we're really disappointed when we don't get it. Whew. Sometimes when our imposter syndrome levels in our blood are so high, we're afraid to even tell ourselves what we want. So we engage in vagueitis. So we come up with a goal that sounds something like, I hope to have some type of advancement in some part of my career sometime before I die. And then you could essentially be shooting blindly at any professional thing, and eventually you're going to hit your target. High five, pat yourself on the back, you've achieved your goal. But what we're really doing is hiding. We engage in self-destructive behaviors like procrastination, because if you don't finish something, nobody can judge the final product, right? And we half-ass stuff. Now, I wanted to be on the volleyball team when I was in school. And after the first day of tryouts, it was clear that I was good, but there were a lot of people who were better. So instead of going home and practicing and getting psyched up and really bringing my A game the next day, I came in and completely half-assed it. Spoiler alert, I did not make the team. But then I was telling myself, well, I mean, I didn't make the team because I didn't really try. If I had really tried, I totally would have made it. I mean, like, the Olympics would have been calling me. And I didn't have time for the Nike sponsorship that week. So, you know, it's totally better that I didn't make the team. I thought that I was protecting myself from rejection. But what I was really doing was preventing myself from achieving something I wanted. And Sarah talked about this. We are so afraid of being perfect. We make sure every hair is in place. We dot every I. We cross every T. We over-research. We over-rehearse just so we can say one thing in a staff meeting because we're so worried that somebody is going to say that we did something wrong. We're so worried everybody's spotlight is going to turn and stare at us and we realize that we're actually a human being. Our entire life rides on this base of our self-confidence, our self-picture of who we are and what we can do. And when that base is rickety from not using our internal strength and being eaten away by ants, it's no wonder we feel wobbly. And when we feel stressed, do we call up a friend and say, I feel like I am not rocking this right now? Do we reach out? No, of course not. Because we know that if we call somebody and say, I am stressed, I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing, and I feel like I am the only one, we're afraid that they're gonna what? Shoot us? Fire us? Not be our friend? Unmatch all of our socks? What are we so afraid of? Why aren't we talking about this? The reason that 70% of educated, affluent, successful people suffer from this is because we don't talk about it. The only way to bring that number down is to bring this to light. I want to come to every residency program in the country and talk about this. We need to talk about this and reach out to each other. Now, I can't promise that I can cure the imposter syndrome because there is no magic pill. However, if you practice the tools that I'm going to give you here today, I'm telling you, no. I guarantee you, I can get your blood levels of imposter syndrome so low, it will be non-detectable, even with that new high sensitivity assay. All right, do you guys want the treatment? Say yes. All right, let's do this. When you are suffering from status comparicus and you are shrinking and shaking because what everyone else is doing is just so awesome, I need you to stop and shake it off. There we go. Because the truth is, the person you are talking to is awesome. But that doesn't mean you can't also be awesome. She didn't use it all up. Awesome is an infinite resource. There is plenty of it for everybody. And nobody can be awesome in the very specific way that you can be awesome. Because you are the only you that ever will be. Natasha Bedingfield said, no one else can speak the words on your lips. So you ask yourself, who am I to step up and do something different? And I challenge you, who are you not to? How dare you rob the world of the thing that, whatever it is, that only you can bring? Wanting to be someone other than who you are is a waste of who you are. So when you're suffering from status comparicus, I want you to shake it off. When you are shoulding all over yourself, I am going to send two people to your house. My incessantly questioning toddler and my neighbor's snotty teenage kid. And here's how it's going to go. You're going to say something like, I should do more research. And the toddler is going to say, why? I see some of you have toddlers. This is familiar to you, yes. And if you come up with an answer like, because research is my passion, it's that unique thing I'm going to bring to the world, and it makes me so excited, it's where I want my career to go, then okay, fine, he'll accept that and just go color on your walls. But if you finally come up with some lame half-assed answer like, because Sarah has a lot of it on her CV, then the sassy teenager is going to barely look up from his phone, roll his eyes at you and say, who cares? So anytime you are shooting on yourself, I want you to ask yourself, does it pass the why and who cares test? And if it does not, you can take that and flush it right down the toilet, because that's where it belongs. When these ants, when these automatic negative thoughts pop into your head, that is a great dress. Oh no, I have no fashion sense. Ant, you need to stop and recognize that that's exactly what it is, and I want you to swat it. Don't swat the person who said it to you. I'm not advocating violence. You can swat yourself. People will look at you funny in public. Recognize immediately. Oh, that's an ant. Swat that thing away. And we're going to try this crazy thing, especially that you women have probably are not familiar with this concept. When someone says, that's a nice dress, you say, thank you. When somebody says, that was a really insightful comment that you made in the meeting, you're not going to say, oh, no, they just wanted me to cap because I'm a woman. That's an ant. You're going to say, thank you. Yes, see, look, you're already getting good at it. You can get good at anything with practice. So automatic negative thoughts, we're going to identify and eradicate. Now, your hyperverbal inner bully podcast. Now, when this is going, what I want you to do is turn it off. Now, I personally have reached nowhere near that level of enlightenment. So for the rest of you mere mortals, here's some other things you can try. What I try and do sometimes is change the station. Instead of listening to the Faults and Flaws channel all day long, sometimes I'll try and switch it to something I'm excited about, something I'm passionate about, something I'm good at, or something I care about. And then eventually, when it starts flipping back to that default channel, you can turn the volume down. And if you're having a day that you're not feeling strong enough to turn the volume down, I encourage you to drown it out. One of my favorite stress-relieving activities when I'm in my car is to roll all the windows down, crank the stereo up, and sing at the top of my lungs. I am a rock star party of one, and I do not turn it down at stoplights. I'm all, judge me all you want, convertible man. Moana totally gets me. You don't know how far I'll go. And I will rock it. So when your hyperverbal inner bully podcast is running all day long, I want you to turn it off. Change the station, turn it down, or drown it out. I will sing for you. I will offer that service for you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, when your tunnel vision is focusing a spotlight only on your faults and flaws, I want you to try turning it to your strengths. If the light gets too dim when you do that, I insist that you shine it toward the sky like a bat signal beacon for help. And I already hear the objections hammering me on stage. I don't want to bother any of my friends because they're busy and they have a life of their own and I don't want to be a burden to anybody, right? I challenge you, say, who am I to ask for help? Who are you not to? Because imagine like this, like you're like having a fail friend. I'm your friend and I'm having a so-so day. I'm kind of listening to my own faults and flaws and stuff. And you call me up and say, I am not rocking it. I'm having an awful day. I feel like I suck at all of this stuff, and I am overwhelmed. So instead of me shining my light on myself, I get to turn my light towards you and shine it on all of your strengths. Girl, I know you're not feeling it right now, but you are fierce. You are an awesome doctor. You are a great mom. You have killer dance moves and a great butt. Let's meet for coffee. We can get through this together. Namaste means the light within me salutes the light within you. You are not being selfish and asking for help. You are being selfish in hiding your problems because you are robbing somebody of the opportunity to connect. And you think that you are burdening them, but you might be saving them that day. Nobody can read your mind. This is a delusion. If you want to be the director of patient satisfaction, you need to make an appointment with your boss and go in and say, I would like to be the director of patient satisfaction. What steps do I need to take in order to achieve this? So it is time to stop being vague, and it is time to start setting a real target. And I know you brought me a card, and I totally left it over by my seat. I'm so sorry. So you all have a card in your packet, so I want you to get that out right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's going to be dangerous. Okay, so get out. I'm serious. Thank you. Sorry for making you guys retrieve it for me twice. So it's a square like this. I know you all lost it. And what I want you to do on this card, it might say anything on the front, is I want you to write down your goal and stop before you write down any goal. Because if the goal you write down doesn't make you feel a little sweaty, you're not trying hard enough. So no matter what it is, whether you want to be the CMO, whether you want to go quit and join Doctors Without Borders or run Doctors Without Borders, or if you want to quit medicine completely and go give awesome surf lessons on the beach in Maui, whatever that unique thing that is just you, that is what I want you to write down on this card. And if for some of you, hopefully you're being really honest and shooting at this really huge target, if it's the first time you've ever told anyone, come find me and tell me what it is. I will bring a defibrillator if you need me to, because we're going to admit this. My goal that I wrote down on my card, which is still in my purse somewhere, I want to be a professional speaker and best-selling author who uses evidence-based, scientifically sound principles to help empower people to improve their confidence and improve their health. Look, I didn't die. And that's not a goal I should be doing, right? I'm going to take a lot of shots at that target, and I can tell you not every one of them is going to hit. But every shot I take, I'm going to get better. And with practice, it's going to help me become a better person. So even if I never get to that goal exactly, on my deathbed, I will be able to look back and say, I am so glad I tried, rather than, I really wish I would have. So I want to know what yours is. So come find me and tell me. Because my good friend, marketing guru, entrepreneur extraordinaire, and all-around awesome person Joe Polish said, an unexamined life is not worth living. But an unlived life is not worth examining. Live your life. Whatever it is that feels true to you, whatever your real goal is, it is time to stop hiding. It is time to stop procrastinating and half-assing things. It is time to stop trying to be perfect. We worry so much about what people think about us. The truth is, people don't think about us nearly as often as we think they're thinking about us. What are they thinking about? They're busy thinking about themselves. So stop living for what you think people want you to do and start living your life. And when you are feeling overwhelmed, I want you to reach out for help. You need these skills, and there are more. Because you've all heard this cliche, right? When life hands you lemons. So a lemon is a problem. And it's a little bit bitter. You take off a hunk of lemon and stick it in your mouth, and it's bitter. But you can dilute that lemon by squeezing it into a glass of water, right? You dilute it by using your skills. And then you reach out and connect with other people. We're not meant to be solitary beings. You reach out and connect with people, and you dilute that into a 10-gallon bucket of water. Into a 10 million gallon bucket of water, and you get stronger and stronger and better. So the next time life hands you lemons, you're gonna make apple juice and leave everybody wondering how the hell you did it. Thank you.